Parshas Bahar, the date was the 15th of Iyar, the year was Tavshin Mem Vav, corresponding to 1986. Kisavayu el ha'aretz, asher ani neisen lachem. In the beginning of the Parsha it says, when you'll come to the land that I will give you, v'shav sa ha'aretz, shabbas la'avaya. So then the land will have peace, the land will rest, there will be serenity. Sheishanim tizra sodecha. For 6 years, you will work your fields. Vesheishanim tizmir kamecha. For 6 years, you'll prune your vineyards, goymer, etc. So the parsha opens with a description of Shabbos. Not the weekly Shabbos, but the agricultural Shabbos, the year of serene rest and peace that visits Jewish people on a regular basis. We work for 6 years and rest on the seventh, or the land rests on the seventh. V'yaduah hadiyuk b'zeh b'chama mekeimeis. So in many places in Chassidus, starting off in the beginning of Likut HaTorah of this week, but really throughout my Maamarim of Chassidus. And the Rebbe highlights specifically a maamar of the Mittel Rebbe, which had just been printed shortly before this February. The yesh lahavin bilshein ha-maamar. We have to understand in using the language of the Maimer, Kisaveyu ala aretz. It says when you come to the land. So when you come, it sounds the mashma, the miyad sheyaveyu ala aretz v'shav saharetz. Immediately about coming to the land, the first thing you do, why don't you take a rest? We just got here. Yeah, I know. V'shav saharetz. You come to the land rests. First thing, you come, serenity startup. First thing is, you have Shabbos. How does that work? Eich efsher. How is it possible that should be miyad shono hashviyus? How could you start with the seventh year im lekad mutchila sheishanim? You didn't have 6 years leading up to the seventh year. What do you mean you're starting at the seventh year? Kamesha kosov, like it says right afterwards. Sheishanim tizra. For 6 years, you'll seed, work the field, etc. And only afterwards Bashana Hashvius. So the Torah immediately, right afterwards, says, you work for 6 years, and after working for 6 years, then you rest on the seventh. So why did the parsha begin? By starting off with Shabbos. Right away a rest. Strange way to start. Vegam, Eich Omar Lashon Vishav Sahaoretz. How could you start off saying the land will rest? Rest from what? Halayadua dein Lashon Shviso Shayich. You can't use the language of rest or cease work, rak min ha'aveda. If you're working, you can cease work. If you're not working, you can't cease work. How can you start off with a cessation? As soon as you come, you should stop and stop what you're doing. I'm not doing anything. If I'll do something, I could stop what I'm doing. Echomer v'shav saharetz. He doesn't even just start off saying, you come to the land and it will be peace, serenity. No, it says you'll come to the land and you'll stop working. Okay, first we should start working. And then only after you have the 6 years, really the Pasuk should have said, Kisaveyu ala aretz, when you'll come to the land. So the first thing you do is roll your sleeves up, get to work. Sheishanim tizra. 6 years you'll plant and so on and so forth. V'acharkach. And after you toiled and worked, then v'shav saharetz. A seventh year will come and then the land will rest. So really, up until this point, the Rebbe has recapitulated the way this is approached in various memorim, discourses of Chassidus. And here, the Rebbe adds something different, something unique. He says, V'yesh la'hesef, b'tur ma'imer ha'muzger. The Rebbe said it's, you know, kind of, you can add something, parenthetically. D'b'chnisa la'aretz b'pam rishena, when the Jewish people came to the land of Israel the first time in the days of Yehoshua, not only would it be required of the Jewish people then to work 6 years and only afterwards to have a year of Shemitah, before we got to work, we first had to do war. We had to make war. We had to conquer the land. That took 7 years. And then after fighting with our enemies for 7 years, then we fought amongst ourselves for 7 years to figure out where everybody should live and how everybody should settle. And only after 7 years of conquering the land of Israel, 7 years of apportioning the land of Israel, like la'achar akibush v'achaluka v'hayisyashvus, after the conquering the land, the dividing, apportioning the land, and the settling the land, oz, 14 years in, hiskel inyan sheishanim tizah sadecha. Only then did we begin the 6 years. In other words, we're talking about the first Shemitah took 20 years. 20 years. 7 years. Another 7 years is 14. And then another 6 years. So only in the 21st year after coming did they actually have Shemitah. So why would the Torah start off by saying, you come to the land that I'm giving you, Vishav Saharetz? It's not right away, Vishav Saharetz. It's not right away at all. First of all, it should have said 6 years, and then afterwards you rest. But the Rebbe says specifically when the Jewish people did come, it wasn't anywhere near the beginning. It certainly wasn't the startup. Only after all this comes the seventh year of Shemitah. It really needs to be understood why would the Torah use verbiage that seems entirely out of character and inappropriate. It seems on the surface to be conveying a message which is at best inaccurate. The kernel of explanation. And here the Rebbe synopsizes on that which is found at great length in numerous memorim. Synoptically speaking, we have to go back to a rule. A rule that is introduced to us very early on in the writings of Kabbalah. In fact, the book we're going to reference here precedes the book of Zohar by many, many centuries. Only it wasn't available. It's called Sefer Yetzirah. And according to some opinions, Adam HaRishon, the first human being, actually authored Sefer Yetzirah. Sefer Yetzirah is rife with mistakes. The Sefer Yetzirah we have is not exact and accurate. So the instructions that it gives you on doing various things, don't try that recipe. It's not going to work. But the ideas are the ideas that come from the very beginning of time. Divine ideas of Kabbalah, of Jewish mysticism and spirituality that date back to the very beginning of creation. So one of the ideas that's talked about right in the beginning of the Sefer Yetzirah is the notion of Na'ot Seifan B'Tchilasan, V'Tchilasan B'Seifan. It's almost really a mathematical equation. The book describes a circle, and it says that everything is circular. All of energy is circular. What is a circle? A circle is when you take a line and you wedge the beginning into the end. So in theory, if you took a line and you took this line and you connected the beginning and the end, what would you get? A circle. That's called completing the circle. So completing the circle means the beginning and end are wedged into one another so that the end and the beginning now become seamless. And at some point, you don't know what the beginning or the end is because it's continuous. Now it's a circle. The high note, that is to say, Shaseifu Gmar Ho'inyan denotes the Nimtza Kvar B'Tchilasi, that whatever is going to be in the end is already wedged into the beginning. So the end game, the final destination, is to be found before you begin the journey. What does this mean, and how does it apply here? V'lachein Omar Kan B'Kosov, therefore he says in the Pasuk, Kisavayu, when you'll come, Vishavso, and the first thing we hear about is serenity. First thing we hear about is a rest. Shemiyad betchilas biyasan la'aretz, because immediately upon arrival in the land of Israel, even though in order to get to this Vishavso, there's a lot of hay that has to be, so to speak, traversed. Got to get through 6 years, and only afterwards could we rest. And specifically, the first time around, before we got to the 6 years, there are 14 years. Nonetheless, no, it's hasayif the veshav sahar. It's Shabbos Hashem, because it's circular. So immediately upon arriving in the land of Israel, there's emphasis on the concept of veshav sah. Why? Because veshav sah is the end game. That's where this is taking us. All the working of the land is so that we reach the point in which we rest. And therefore, because from the beginning, we have our eyes on the end. So from the beginning, we talk about veshav sah. Right in the beginning, the end is apparent. The same thing would be true the other way around. That the beginning of whatever you do is to be wedged right into the end. I know that means. The haskolas kol davar, the beginning of everything. Before you begin anything, you have to have something in mind. A person begins a journey, a process, an activity. So what are you trying to accomplish? If the person cannot tell you what they're trying to accomplish, there's a good chance they won't succeed. Well, I don't even know what you want to do. How are you going to succeed? So one has to have a goal in mind. Before you set out to do anything, I want to do something. What is that? And invariably, I don't want to just, well, I'm just going to get in the car and drive. Where are you going? I don't know. Well, where are you going to go? That doesn't make any sense. There has to be some kind of goal in mind. Maybe the goal is the journey itself. Sometimes people like to go for a drive, see the countryside. So what's the goal? See the countryside. So where are you going to drive? Not downtown. You have to know what you want to accomplish. So there's a kavanah. Everything has intention. There's a tachlis. There's a purpose. There's a reason that you're starting it. So when you start something, really and truly think about it. The moment you start something, what do you have in mind? The moment you start. The objective, the end, the destination. And because that's the case, the fulfillment of your intention invariably is at the end. And that's why you're going through all these steps to be able to get there. And this is the meaning, that's why it says when you come to the land of Israel. So why are we coming to the land of Israel? What is the ultimate goal and purpose? The ultimate goal and purpose is v'shavsa ha'aretz. The ultimate goal and purpose is to live in the land and feel close to Hashem. And when I'm busy doing land stuff and material things, I don't feel the presence of Hashem so much. So what's the goal? A person will go to work. Why is he going to work? So he can make a living. And what does he want to make a living for? So he can pay his bills. And what does he want then? See, he's working towards something. He wants a good life. Whatever that may be, but he wants a good life. In order to have a good life, he has to be able to afford life. Otherwise, he'd be homeless. Right? This is like a silly story told about Rothschild coming to Israel, and he finds a bum on the beach in Tel Aviv, and he says to the guy, why don't you get a job? The guy says, why should I do that for? He says, because you'll make money. So what do I do with the money? He says, what do you mean? You'll have a roof over your head, and you'll have normal clothes, and you'll have food. And the man keeps pressing him, and then. And finally Rothschild says, and then you'll be happy. The man says, I'm happy already. Why should I do that? Most normal people aren't happy being a bum, living on the street. But if that makes him happy, he's not motivated to do anything. He's already happy. So we look for satisfaction. Every one of us wants to be happy. Every one of us wants to experience what's called pleasure in life. We all want a state of pleasure, a state of inner peace. Everybody wants that. The question is, how do you get there? A lot of people don't know. A lot of people go through life aimlessly, purposelessly. Purposelessly, you know what I'm talking about. Huh?
Without purpose.
Sans purpose. So they're not happy because in the end, a human being is built for purpose and you have to know what that purpose is and you have to try to be getting towards the purpose. Otherwise, the journey doesn't make any sense. So this is the meaning of this Kisavayu al-Aretz. It's critically important for us to talk about the purpose right as soon as we come to the land of Israel. Otherwise, we don't even know why we're here. So the first thing Hashem says, Kisavayu al-Aretz, do you know why you're going to the land of Israel? Do you know what the ultimate goal is? The ultimate goal is to be close to Hashem. What's the greatest closeness? V'shavsa. That's the ultimate goal. Shetekev b'tchilos ha'inyan. Immediately, before we start, using the phraseology of Jewish philosophy, b'machashava shalofnei ha'maisa, in the thought that precedes action, shehi hakavana v'hatachlis, which that is the objective, the ultimate purpose, no'otz ha'soif, that's wedged into the end, in other words, the purpose, that is the end. In fact, sometimes people call the objective the end. They say it's means to an end. So now I have to have a purpose for the means, and then I have to have, and I'll get to an end. But when I started to do it, the idea that I had was the end. Perfect. So the beginning is wedged into the end. V'shav sa'aretz. V'inyin zeh nimshach b'chol masha b'netayim. Here the Rebbe says something very interesting, which he's going to emphasize later on. The whatever the purpose might be, it really has to follow through in the entirety of the journey. So if the purpose is to be able to come to a state of a certain pleasure or equilibrium or inner happiness, then that should accompany and punctuate the entirety of the journey, all along. Ad shebaseifo inyan, it's still in the very end, barley de gili akavana v'atachlas shebetchilasi. In the very end, you get to what you were looking for. You finally achieve what you were looking for. That is, sheyia v'shav sa'aretz shabbos la'havaya, that the land will rest for the purpose of closeness to Havaya, to God. So this is a very shortened version, a synoptic version of something much, much bigger that's developed in Chassidus. But the Rebbe takes us straight now to the end. There's a mimer from the Mittler Rebbe that's just found in two versions. And this mimer, it's a very long mimer actually. It's like 17, 18 pages long. Towards the end of the mimer, the very last page, the Mittler Rebbe takes the thesis that he developed in Veshav Saaretz based on this idea of Noat Skilas and Besefan, and he frames it by speaking not about Shemitah, not about the land of Israel, but he frames it by discussing the ultimate purpose of creation itself. And he describes the Veshav Saaretz as the messianic reality, the goal of creation and the purpose that humankind is supposed to be working towards. And he says like this, Klolos parsha zu koi al klolos avedis adam. If you want to get real about it, broadly speaking, this parsha does not speak about Shemitah. This parsha speaks about life. It speaks about life as illuminated by Yiddishkeit, which is about Aveda. Somebody asks, what did I come here for? Ani nevresi, I was created, says the Mishnah, l'shamash eskeini. Avedis Hashem is not something I do when I have free time on my hands. Aveda, or at least it shouldn't be. Avodas Hashem is the definition of life. What is a Jew doing here? He serves Hashem. What was Moshe? In Eved Hashem. That's what life's supposed to be about. Life has various colors. It develops in various ways. But the common denominator is Avodas Hashem. So Tachlis HaAveda, what's the purpose of the Aveda? Where am I going with all this? The Tachlis HaAveda is Sheyia V'Shav Saret Shabbos La'Avaya. What does that mean? Which Shabbos? What are we working towards? L'yoyim shekuli Shabbos u'menucha l'chayir elamim. What we're working towards is the notion of cosmic serenity. We're working towards the cosmic Shabbos, which is the definition of creation itself, because that's the coming of Mashiach. Rabbi El Khan once spoke many years ago, and he said, you know, this people, the Rebbe was speaking about Mashiach, and Mashiach, always talking about Mashiach, and he said, why does the Rebbe talk about Mashiach so much? Mashiach will come, we'll be happy, we'll see Mashiach. There's many other mitzvahs in the Torah. And the Biel metaphorized it, and he said, imagine a soldier who goes to battle, and he says, I don't care about victory. I don't care about defending my homeland. I just care that the bullet should get to the target right now. That's all I'm focusing on now. He says, an army like that will for sure fail. Why? Because they have no morale. If you don't know why you're going to war, you'll never be able to prosecute the war. If you know why you're going to war, if you have motivation, then you can fight the war. Simply speaking, why did the American revolutionaries defeat the British? Simply speaking, because they had morale, and the British soldiers did not. And it was even worse. The British soldiers were hardly doing the fighting. The Hessians were doing the fighting. So this was German soldiers who were paid for. It was pay for slay, and they brought them over from Germany, from Frederick of Prussia, about whom they said had an army and also a country, but mainly an army. And he had these soldiers for hire. So were they motivated? What were they fighting for? The American revolutionaries wanted their freedom. They wanted to live freely. And in fact, many Hessians defected. And they joined the revolutionaries. Why? They said, what are you fighting for? He said, you're a serf. In Bavaria, you barely get, you have no future. He said, here you can have endless land, America. They said, really? What are we fighting for? And they jumped sides. So motivation, in the end, is what kept that ragtag band army going throughout. And it wasn't just in the end. All along. Morale means all along. What am I doing this for? So this is the notion that what's the purpose of existence itself? The Torah is telling us that the purpose of existence, the purpose of creation, the purpose of our being here is Avodas Hashem. And the purpose of Avodas Hashem is to be able to get to the point where Mashiach is here. V'zen nifal, how does that happen? How do we get there? Ayideh aveda. It happens through toil, through effort, through serving Hashem. Bein atayim, so far along, b'shit al-fashina, what's called the sixth millennium, the havi alma of the world's existence, of creation's existence. The sheish shanim tizah sadecha, v'sheish shanim tizah b'kamecha. The Torah describes those six millennia, or that work, as tilling the field and pruning the vineyard. And here the Rebbe begins to explain, why is it, if this is a pasuk that's speaking about life itself, then why are we getting into the details of the field? Working the field, planting the field, pruning the vineyard. How does that represent life itself? That's clearly a pasuk that speaks about working the land in Shemitah. So the Rebbe explains that Sada and Kerem allude to two general purposes in Avedas Hashem. Sada is Mekom Gidul HaLechem, the areas of land in which they plant grain are usually referred to as the country's breadbasket. So for example, here in Canada, Saskatchewan is called Canada's breadbasket. In the United States, I think it's the Midwest or lower Midwest, is called Kansas, whatever, America's breadbasket. The meaning is that in order to have bread, you need to have grain. And there are certain portions of land that are uniquely suited to grow that. As it says, and this is actually a quote, it's from Job, from Eov. It says, Eretz mimena yetzi lechem. Land? Oh yeah, that's where bread comes from. Halechem hu mukhrech l'kiyum adam. Bread is what we call the basic carbohydrate. It's a euphemism for basic survival. Keeping body and soul together. You got to have bread. Even if you're on the Atkins diet. That's not the point. The point is, bread represents the basic diet. Mashenkin kerem. What happens if a country doesn't have vineyards? What happens if a country doesn't have grapes? What happens?
Important.
Yeah, nothing happens. You can live without grapes. But the grapes are so nice. Yeah, they're nice. But you can live without grapes. You don't need wine. The grapes are being produced. Legad el anovim. Kerem is the vineyard is where you grow grapes. Leyayin. And that's the idea of zesim, of having olives, but leshemen, for oil. So generally speaking, this represents not survival, not existence, but pleasure. Davar noisif al hamuchach. This is beyond what's absolutely necessary and what is needed or required. Like I explained in many places, in the verbiage that's employed for the bracha that's recited at the end of eating many foods, that we say the bracha of Berdu Nefashes, we say v'chesroinon al kol masha berasa. We say the bracha of Berdu Nefashes Rabbis, Hashem created many souls, and we say that the souls are all missing, we're all lacking something, and Hashem created chesroinon al kol masha berasa lahachiyes b'nefesh kachoychi. People have needs that the creatures, animals, all the way to people, have an emptiness, have a yearning, a craving, a need for sustenance. And Hashem created this lahaches, to give vitality and life. So the chesroinon, it says, lacking or missing, the hunger refers to dvarim hamukhrochim l'kiyum adam, things which are required and necessary. Ulahaches, and to give extra vitality, that's koyal dvarim shaltainu, that refers to pleasure. So nobody says, I'm hungry for dessert. Actually, my kids do say that sometimes, but you're not hungry for dessert. I'm hungry for dinner. You're hungry for, I would like dessert. Can't be hungry for ice cream. You could be hungry for that's what you need to survive. So just like we have this notion in material sustenance that there is necessity, what's absolutely required, and then there is the pleasures and the finer things of life. So we speak about this in a spiritual way. It represents the concept of Torah study and mitzvahs. The bechlalos, kiyum ha-mitzvahs. Generally speaking, the fulfillment of mitzvahs, even the mitzvah of learning Torah, hu inyan ha-mukhrach. It's not an elective. It's not an option. It's necessary. Limud ha-Torah, learning Torah, the Rebbe says, we're not talking about learning the Torah to know what to do. The person doesn't even know what to do. Obviously, you got to find out what to do. Read a good book, find out the instructions, so you're able to do the mitzvahs. We're not talking about that. We're not talking about the Maisa Shayason, the Ashalaysa Asana. You're not talking about learning the basics so you know what to do. This Maimer is not telling us the halacha of what to do. It's not teaching us how to daven, how to keep Shabbos this evening. So why are we learning this? We're learning Torah. What do you mean learning Hashem's Torah? So learning Hashem's Torah is a yin of Tainuk. It's supposed to be a pleasure. In fact, in adult education, it's always a pleasure because nobody forced you to come. With kids, they feel they have to go to school. But the question is, does the school stimulate a love for learning, an interest in learning, a pleasure, a desire to learning? So if it doesn't, then it's a failure. And then you only learn what you must learn. But if learning becomes a joy, a pleasure, you'll always learn. Why? Because you want to learn, because you want to develop. We can talk about, break this down into mitzvahs themselves. The b'mitzvah, sinikiyam ha-mitzvah, ikar adinu, ikar inyan ha-mukhach. If you want to talk about what's necessary, what's required in the mitzvah, the answer is the bare bones, the basics. Cover the subject. You got to do a certain amount, whatever it might be, whatever the shir, the amount of that mitzvah is. But then there's doing more. Then there's kiyam ha-mitzvah, which is behidur, doing a mitzvah in a most beautiful and meticulous way. That's a inyan of tainuk. That's when somebody loves what they're doing. That's when it's a labor of love. So a person can do any mitzvah in the very, very barest necessity. The bare bones of the mitzvah, just the skeleton of the mitzvah. Or a person could be excited about the mitzvah. I want to go above and beyond the call of duty. He could have an esrog, which is kosher. It's just an esrog. It's banged up from all sides. It's kosher. It gets you by. Or a person is excited about his esrog, and he wants to buy a beautiful esrog, and he spends time choosing and selecting what he finds to be the beauty in his beholder's eye, the nicest esrog possible, because he wants to go the extra mile. The truth is, it's not only in a mitzvah. There are people who wear nice clothes. Why? Because they enjoy it. People don't care about what they wear, so they wear dungarees, whatever, jeans. They don't care. So what's the difference? They both cover the subject. In both, you're not naked. In both, you're able to get by. True. What's the difference? Because for some people, it's not just about the substance, it's about the style, because they have a delight in it, because they enjoy it. There's the idea of learning, because you just need to know what to do. That's mukhrach, that's necessary, that's required, that's absolutely something which is critical. You can't get by otherwise. But then, and then there's the idea of limudat teira, liyas achas meremach mitzvah saseh, hu inyan mukhrach. The learning of Torah, because it's a mitzvah to learn Torah, so it's not an option. You got to do it. You got to learn Torah every day. When a person learns Torah and uncovers a deeper level of understanding and has a deeper and more profound appreciation of the concept of Torah, he says, this is the idea of what the Gemara says, Droish v'kabel schar. You should expound the Torah and get even more reward, more remuneration from Hashem. In fact, the Torah becomes the reward itself. The idea that the Torah is chachmas eshla kadosh baruch hu, that it is the wisdom of God. And by learning Torah, I know God. And knowing God, that is the idea of Tainuk. So a person could babysit. Or somebody told me this morning, he could zaydi sit. So what is he doing? He's doing. Keep the kid safe. Parents home yet? Here's your kid. Or, I love doing this. I'm going to do this with my grandchild. I'm going to have fun with him. I'm going to do things. That's the difference between a grandmother or a grandfather who loves his grandchildren, or it's a duty. Duty calls. And one, what's required for babysitting or bubby sitting, whatever it is? What's required? Keep the kid safe. Give him back to his parents. Most bubbies in Zadies don't babysit like that. They want to spend time with the grandchildren. This is the idea that they enjoy it. And this is the meaning, my dear friends, of Shei Shonim Tizra Sadecha V'Shei Shonim Tizra Mekabecha, going back to the notion that the rest and the peace, that this is an actual description of life itself. So if it's a description of life itself, why do we get stuck on details like fields and vineyards? And the answer is that that's exactly the way it is. The Rebbe says even the order in the pasuk is precise. The first thing is you got to do what you got to do. First thing is you got to provide the basics, survival. That's the sada. And then afterwards, then you have to find delight and pleasure. That's the keren, that's the vineyard. And then where's that taking us? The Shavsa'oris Shabbos Havaya. The Achashleimus Havayda B'chol Inyanim. When your field is the way a field should be, the grapes are as they were intended, then you can come to the concept of, now I can enjoy the fruits of my labor. Now I can move into a higher state of consciousness. Now I can enjoy serenity and peace and the pleasures of being able to take joy in my accomplishments. This is the idea of a Shav Saha Oretz Shabbos Lavaya, that I reach ultimately the Yom Shekulu Shabbos HaMenucha L'Chayei Lomim. Where are we going? Where is this journey taking us? Eventually, hopefully very soon, we reach the level of ultimate cosmic peace and serenity. And then we say, that's Noos Chilasim B'Seifon, that before we start, we know where we're going. This is the beginning of the Maimer. The second half of the Maimer, which we're not going to have time to learn this morning, the Rebbe shows us how the idea of Noatz Kolasim B'Seifon is not only a serenity startup, but actually that concept of Noatz Kolasim B'Seifon continuously moves throughout the circle. That there's the pleasure to be found in each step of the road, even though I didn't get to the destination yet. So the Rebbe introduces this new idea. It's not only in the beginning, but it's throughout. So not only I know where I'm going when I started, but all along the journey, I still know where I'm going. And that's where I can recalibrate and redirect myself. Why? Because all along, the end is apparent. May the end be apparent with the coming of Mashiach speedily. As the Maimer finishes off with the words, L'yoyim shekuli Shabbos, amenucha l'chai ha'olamim. Thank you all for joining us all week. Good Shabbos.